title. We're going to call it Parshas Vayechi. Calm, cool, and collected. I will say the essential theme of Parshas Vayechi is the brachos. Yaakov gave to his son before he died. We discussed a little bit about those brachos earlier in the week. I want to focus on one, the first bracha actually, the first comment that's given to all the sons. Yaakov turns to his son Reuben, and he says as follows, Reuben, b'chor yata, you're my b'chor. Kochi, gracious only, my strength, my first zikra, my first child. Yes, there is the eighth, the yes or us. You should have had the eighth and us. The eighth in the Parsha mean that you should have had kahuna. The kohanim should all come out of the Reuven. Un is malchut. You should have been the king. All the kings in the day should have come from you. But you lost it. That's what you should have had. Yes, there's the eighth. Yes, you should have had the eighth and us. Kahuna and malchut. What happened? Why'd you lose it? Achaz kamayim al tosar. Ki alisa mishkeve avicha. Az kilata yitzui ala. End of bracha. End of statement. You were tachaz kamayim. You were quick. Like water. Al tosar. And therefore you're not going to get these extras. Ki alisa mishkeve avicha. Because literally you went up onto the bed of your father. Az kilata yitzui ala. Then you lost the chance. Shechina that rests on the bed was taken away from you. Avotai, the Rubei Sinema. The Gemara says definitively in Masechta Shabbos, Kol HaOmer Rubein Chata Eino Ela Tova, which means anybody that says Rubein did a sin is mistaken. Rubein didn't sin. In the pasuk itself, you have proof. If you look back and find the parsha where the story that happened, the parsha by Yishlach. It's very clear. It says in the Torah, "Vayibishkun Yisrael baharet ayim ayilech Reuven vayishkav as Bilah pilegesh aviv vayishma Yisrael." Next phrase, "Vayu bnei Yaakov shnei matar." Yaakov's children are all 12. Rashi took the comment and says, "Rabbi Tina Darshu Lamdenu Bashakula Shovin the Kula Tzadikim the 12 equal ones 12 Tzadikim Shaluch Ata Reuven." He didn't sin. Can someone call me, please? I have a question. If you didn't sin, why you lose kahuna? And why you lose malchus? You didn't sin. He's the seer. He's the first. He's the first tipa of Yaakov Avinu, as she says. The first of his koach. So give him back the kahuna. Give him back malchus. Why can't he get another? Why can't the kahuna come from him? And I've also listened carefully to a very, very important answer. He didn't sin. It's true. But he displayed a midah of Osai. This is a midah which can't exist by a leadership position in Klal Yisrael. And practically, and frankly, of Osai, for every single Jew, it's a midah which has to be worked on and refined. And what's that midah? That's a midah of pachad kamayim al tosar. It's a midah of acting with haste. It's a midah of not thinking through things thoroughly till their end. It's a midah of acting on impulse. Oh, it looks to me, Rachel, not alive anymore, and now Yaakov's going to go ahead and move his bed. It's a Bilah's tent, and what's with my mother Leah? It's going to be terrible. No. What does he do? Impulsively. Pass the shalom, pass the yishkav, it still doesn't pass the shalom. Literally, sleep with Bilah, pass the shalom. What does it mean? It means he switches the bed. He does an action without fully realizing the repercussions of his action, without seeing the actions of both sides to their end. This is a midah which can't exist by a melech. This is a midah which can't exist by leadership of the Klal Yisrael. Where do you find this? What's the proof in the pudding to this? If you look at David Shmuel, you have a story there. Of whom? Shaul the king. And Hashem comes to Shaul to the Navi and says, Shaul, what should you do in the Shulite? Amalek. And what does Saul do? He almost does it, but is it fair? Agag and who else? The sheep and who else? The women. He spares. Shmuel comes to Saul after he messes up. He says, hey, Saul, how you doing? And he says, great, Hashem wrote me as Baruch Hashem. I'm doing great. I don't know what Hashem wants me to do. And Shmuel goes, no, no, you didn't. Umeko atona deba, do I have a sheep that I hear? Saul in the hands, he made a and he says, Chatati, you're right, I'm sorry. I did a sin. And what caused the sin? Why? He says in the pasuk, you know why? Ki yoresi ha'am. I was scared. The people were pressuring me. How could we kill the innocent women? The king. What's the king going to do? By himself. And therefore, the sheep, the sheep! The sheep! Gotta keep the sheep around. I was scared. I thought I a melech, a rosh the shittay Yisrael, can't act out of behala. Can't act because you're under pressure and doesn't think things through, just the opposite. You have to take a step back and think, what's going to be the repercussions of this action? And I both said, listen carefully, you see this meter come through in Reuven himself. How many words does Yaakov say to Reuven about this action immediately when it happens? The answer is absolutely none. What does the Torah say? By Yishma Yisrael, Yaakov heard. What did he hear? Says about his time on that prophet. He heard, and then all those years later, when he's about to give a party message to Reuven, he tells him. He doesn't tell him right away. He doesn't rip it to him the second it happens. He sits with it. He lets it settle. He's not quick to just rat out the first thing that's on his mind and just blurt whatever he feels like saying. No. He stops. He pauses. He thinks. That is the meter of Osai of Yaakov Avinu. That was unfortunately what Reuven was lacking in this passion. One more idea from Tanakh. Quickly. What's next Yom Tov coming, Rabotai? Next Yom Tov. Pur. We'll call it Pur. Good. We got your name Pur. Haman. Remember Haman? What does Haman want? Everyone to bow down. Everyone bow down except one person. What's his name? Mordechai. What is it in public? Velo come. Velo. Zot. You know what that means? He didn't get up and he didn't even flinch. You know what that requires? A lot of nesinos. A lot of thought, a lot of calculation. I'm not budging an inch. I'm not moving. I'm thought out. I'm not just acting on impulse like everyone else acting in the whole town of Judaism. I'm not flinching even at a mashu. So points out a kindness from 11 to 16. This Midah Avosai is very, very relevant to all of us, not a lot. The Mishnah says in Turkey Avos, in the first parak, the first Mishnah after Ashlosh and Dvarim Ha'ol Omein comes along to Antipas Agdola and there's a mission of Antinos Yisocha and then the mission says, there's a mission that says three things. And the first almost halacha recorded in Turkey Avos is Hevu Nisunin Vadin, which means you should be careful, patient, meticulous in judgment. Of course that means you're a dayan, you're a judge. Don't judge a case quickly. What else does it mean? It means that we pass judgment in our lives, I will say. It's very easy just to give a knee-jerk reaction to something. And it's much harder, and it's much greater mark of an individual when a person hears something and lets it settle, and lets it percolate, and lets his mind and his whole essence sit on it, and only then he comes back with an idea and a response that was going on. Ramban begins his letter to his son. How does it begin? Ramban ibn Saradicha, the Alpha Tosh Sarajima. Then, what's the first thing he says to his son? He says, Tisnahe Tamir, lived out there. Kol Dvarecha, Benachas. Benachas. Never raise your voice. Don't scream. Someone something to tell? Don't say, ouch! That's Madrega. Chol Vech V'Nachas means I think before I talk. It means I'm not screaming or yelling at somebody. I'm for that. I'm not Pachas Kamayim. Rather, I am thinking things through before I do so. I want to give you two practical examples that I've, one I've learned about my life, and one I've experienced many times in my life. My mom used to lament about the fact that when guys were going out in the Shiva, it was the Shiva I mentioned earlier, it was the Shiva Torah Das. When guys were going out with girls, they used to come to the mom all the time and ask them questions like, how do I say this? I'm nervous about that. They would come and they would do like all these questions. And then they would get married. They would never come back to their mom. Just like, once you get married, you know all the answers. And you say, you know, when you're engaged, it matters. Or when you're going out, it matters. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter when you're married. It matters much, much, much more. And yet, people just forget to think about what's going to be the result of their actions so much more when they get married. And I'll end with this, I'll close with this. I have a Rebbe. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. My Rebbe that I speak to him, basically with all my life issues, he's not Dr. Walker. And I've mentioned many times in the over the course of the years, how much I've gained from him. One thing that, regardless of when I speak to him, always comes through in the conversation. Sometimes it's almost painful. I remember once I was called a good speaker, I was in his old time, many years ago, going back about 8 or 9 years. I called my Rebbe up. I said, this is a situation, this is something I need to add a name to it. So he says, okay. And there's a pause. Now, if you're sitting next to a person, across the room, across the table, and first of all, you can see what they're thinking, what they're, how they're reacting. On a telephone 6,000 miles away, what they described, it was much more difficult. I was just waiting there. I'm like, okay. And about a minute goes by, 2 minutes goes by, it feels like an hour, 2 hours. And I was like, is everybody still there? I have to say, I thought I got to send someone. It's a trademark, whatever I do. He doesn't just come out 2 seconds in the answer. He doesn't know the answer right away. Think it through. Have him assume him by then. Means we think things over. Don't just jump to conclusions. Don't just act in a rash way without thinking things through. Stop. When we tiashe by another, we let it sink in. We let it resonate in our being. And then, and only then, are we able to go ahead and give a response and come back with something to say. This Mida Rabbah is a very important Mida in life. The Mida Rabbah began in the Garish way. The Mida Rabbah that we inculcate it, so we'll be going to be on our way to greatness. It's not a easy Mida. And our natural knee-jerk reaction is usually to just say what's on our mind and speak our mind. But the Rabbah is passion, Yaakov, moving. Another example was brought that the trademark of greatness is it was to be muscle. It was to be deliberate and careful and concerned with how and what he speaks and acts. Was that a wonderful Shabbat? Awesome.